go ahead and just get started. I'll work on that.
Okay.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, we're going to get started anyway. People have to stop talking so we can get started.
Talk about horses.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's so
which has a lot to do with booth design. So we're going to talk a little bit about booth design from a philosophic standpoint, and then we're going to go out and actually look at the booth design for 2011. So, I'm doing this without my notes, so.
I can't believe you're looking at me.
No.
Well, I just want you to know that that noise didn't happen before you got here.
I'm looking at you because you're the...
You guys I'm not technical. I'm the only guy
you're the only employee in the room. That's why I looked at you. Okay.
I'll grab her if you want. If you think it's...
I have no idea what it is, so we'll just keep going. I posted a survey on the consultant forum, and again, thank you for the people that answered because it really helped to give me some idea of what you all felt worked this year and what you felt didn't. So this is based on your responses and the responses of some of the ladies that weren't able to be here. So hands down, the thing that everybody said was that the tablecloths were probably the best improvement to the look and feel of the booth for 2010. Coming in a close second, I have no idea why it's doing that. Because it didn't look like that this morning. Were the tabletop banners. Again, it just gave us a very clean look. It gave us a very sophisticated look and everybody liked it. The other thing that a number of people mentioned were those lovely samplers that Carla created for us and produced and printed. Those, I think, saved us a whole lot of hauling and packing and really were a very valuable tool. I know I used mine all the time, probably almost wore them out. And then a number of people said they really appreciated getting that extra booth space this year. That they felt like it made them enter the ranks of the bigger players because they looked like they belonged. And I think I shared yesterday, but I think it's worth sharing again. I met a vendor as we were registering for the CHAP event this year, and the first thing she said to me was, "Oh, you're Sunlight," because I had my tag on. And she said, I've been to two or three events last month. She said, "You guys have really grown up." She said, "I can't believe what you look like this year. You're just totally different." And, you know, I wasn't even talking to her. She took the initiative to step up and introduce herself to me. I have no idea what company she was with, but apparently it so impressed her that she stepped up and had to say something. And then, you know, hands down the coupons. And I think we all agreed that those really made a difference for us this year.
I think that was number one.
Yep.
Technically, it wasn't a booth design, but it was a
right,
success.
Right, and that's why I didn't put it at the top. And then a number of you said that you really liked the data capture tool. I had a really bad experience with that, but apparently that didn't happen to everybody, so that's awesome. That's really awesome. So,
can you describe that just briefly? It was not out when I did my presentation.
What the data capture tool was?
Was that just like using an Excel?
It was a macro and an Excel, yeah. Yeah, and people could fill and type in their own information, okay. And it loaded it into a spreadsheet.
Okay.
Yep, sure. So I think, you know, this is what we all undertook this last year, and I think we probably all agree that it was more than worth it. Mm-hmm. So, great. What didn't work necessarily this last year, and this... at the top, a number of you said that two floor banners was just too much. What nobody really explained was why. So if you were one of those people that felt that two floor banners was too much, go ahead, Carla.
It took up too much of my floor space. When I had an open side, I mean, I had two sides open, and if I tried to put a banner there, people would trip over it or bump into it or whatever. I ended up moving them and putting them back to back so each one faced a different direction, but they were kind of covering the same floor space. is how I used them.
Okay.
Would you put them in one of the corners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it faced two different aisles, and that also had the advantage of not having a blank side to one of the aisles.
Right. That's a good point.
That's how I used them, even though not according to the little blueprint.
But thinking on your feet, you know, that's awesome. Donna had her hand up next.
That's what we had to do at Mass Hope.
Yep.
We didn't have the three booth space, but I'm sure it still would have been an issue with just the traffic flow. And especially that empty spot is a parking spot at our event where people park a stroller. And so to use it for what information was on there, it seemed overkill. But we ended up, because of the nature of this booth space, putting it in a corner between the tables, and then it kind of just end capped our space with more color and visual. So we were able to kind of shift it to the back of the booth as opposed to an aisle. Ours are like a straight back, so it's against the back wall. So it's almost like two corner pieces.
Good. And some of my booths were also more shallow than others.
That is the issue. We have shallow booths.
I ended up, because it was a tripping hazard, because I had an open end at one booth, I ended up asking them to put the rail back up. So they put, instead of it being open to that aisle, they put that up, and then I could put the banner there without people tripping over it.
Okay. Okay.
So I ended up using them, but I felt more secure having the side there.
Okay.
Do you find it locked to then the visual entry to your booth? Like if I walk down an aisle and there's something here that's tall, you have to come around it and pass it before you see into the booth.
People were coming around it anyway, and if I didn't want to then put it at the end and face the other way. I did different things at different events.
Let me see if it does it again.
I hang, because they always put a sign up that says sunlight, and I take that down at the ones that I'm allowed to, and I put that on the outside of that side facing that aisle, if I'm allowed to take it down. So I'm not allowed to.
For the sake of Kim and Sandy, when you have comments, pretend you're outside.
Okay.
Use your outside voice.
Okay, so what else? Some people said that they really were still wrestling with the value of displaying a newcomer package versus just putting a full core package up. So that would be a multi-subject package versus a full core package. Does anybody want to comment on that? Why that question still hangs for you? Yes, Tanya.
I ended up with my newcomer on a 6-foot table versus an 8-foot table.
Yes, so did I.
The 8-foot table was great. A 6-foot table was way too crowded.
I had a 6-foot that was shallow.
And my tables were too shallow.
My South Florida convention, all the tables are 6 feet and they're like two feet deep instead of tiny. Very, very crowded. I mean, there's no place if you wanted to set down the catalog so you could pick something up to show you. You know, there's no
right. The rack is all that fits on the table, and so to put and show the completeness of a newcomer was lost in
the jamming.
So I think knowing the exact size of the table, or taking another event I did, I took my full table that was just 6 foot, but it was that nice deep, you know, Sam's Club table that is what, 3 feet or whatever it is, and that was fine. So for me, the newcomer is great,
but
as long as I make sure I have the right table to display it on.
And for me too, some of my conventions are only two booths, which is an improvement. They were all only one booth, so I'm grateful for the space, but to try and pack in that three banner display with the newcomer, it's very tight.
And that actually is not the two booth display. Yeah. I don't think the two booth display required all of those banners. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it didn't.
I also, the year before, had just started taking a full week, a coherent week, like the samplers that Jenna sent, only I actually had with me, of everything. And customers really liked being able to sit down and say, okay, if I get core 3D, this is what we will do this week with this book, you know, and they could see it. And I lost the ability to do that by having to carry a full newcomer multi-package or multi-subject package because I just didn't have the room and it wasn't allowed in the display anymore.
Okay.
So, That was just a real popular thing.
Okay.
It does have a newcomer.
Does it? A newcomer, yes, but not three banners, is what I said.
Yeah.
It didn't require three banners.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not, but it's still, it's the rag and the, yeah.
Right.
We have a lot of space.
We overcome that by adding, it's a table that actually looks like a TV tray next to the 6-foot table, and it's a 2-foot table. It has adjustable height, which is nice. So we used it a little bit higher next to, and luckily I had one of my old blue tablecloths, so I was able to kind of coordinate it, but that way we could elevate part, because I think, like you said, the way it was laid out in the catalog last year, that spread made its seed value. When you smush it all together, it almost loses its value.
Mm-hmm.
And it we know everything that's in there, but when you can't differentiate the groupings, and we talked about this yesterday, I think we gain more by separating out the pieces, but having all the pieces together, as opposed to all my pieces being buried in that wrap.
Okay. All right. Next thing. Some of you said a 4-foot fitted tablecloth would have been very helpful.
Or even just a flat tablecloth, one we didn't have to tailor as we.
Mm-hmm.
4-foot tablecloths, those are usually 4x4s, aren't they?
No, it would be a 4x2. I don't think they make 4x2s. I think that's what we ran into last year.
But a flat one that even draped. And even if we pinned that up, but it was hard when it was already boxed and trying to pin up the box part so to make
so it. So trying to fit a 6-foot fitted tablecloth to a 4-foot table is what
so
you're saying.
It's actually harder to do that than it's
than a plain fitted table.
Take a flat.
Take a 8 and make it fit a 6.
Yeah.
They make them. I mean, we'll look into it. Yeah. No, I don't know if they make a 4-foot, but I mean, they make them kind of custom. Like, be surprised they can't make it. We'll find out. Would you wrap me? Was this two people, or is this a genuine, general?
How many of you?
This was a couple of people that said it in my survey. I don't know how many in here.
Just a quick show of hands. How many of you would use a 4-foot fitted tablecloth?
Wow.
Just
about everybody. Have a 4-foot table. Okay. We all have 4-foot tables.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm asking. Because if it was again, if it were two of you, we'd be, figure something out. But
it wouldn't ever have to be tailored. Right. That one could just drape on the corners like a normal tablecloth.
Right. As long as it matches.
Just a lug on the front or something.
Yeah. Or even not. Even just a solid blue.
Yeah,
And then a couple of you talked about how having samples of the, having actual book titles in the booth was something that you did not like, and I guess a couple people did core sampler type things, where there were copies of book pages. And
so you're saying that didn't work for the people that tried that?
No, I'm saying that the people, the samples of the core titles didn't work for some people, so they made core samplers instead. So what didn't pass muster for them was having books in their booth.
I would vote for the samplers. I love the electives and the LA samplers. And stuff. Mm-hmm.
No, we're talking about the core. Yeah, but samplers of the core?
Yes, absolutely. I can just picture it.
We wouldn't have to carry as much. We wouldn't look as cluttered.
Put a color a nice big color picture of the cover, and then the table of contents, and maybe the first page and the back thing. Four pages for each book.
Yeah, there might be a copyright issue there.
Yeah.
Were there for that? Just that
oh,
much?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't understand that. You're trying to sell for them.
I guess does that
if we own the book, we have to look into it.
Because I own the book.
Or that's, we have samples on the website. They come to the convention.
Technically, it's illegal.
How big is it? It's not just.
If you're not selling it from the ocean.
It doesn't matter what you're doing.
The table.
You have to get rid of it.
Yes. You're supposed to get rid of it.
They don't want to look them.
I would say it's going to vary on the size of your event. For my large event, last year I took every full core. It's the first time I've done that.
Every full core?
Every full core.
Where'd you put it?
Priest, I had 5 booths. It's a huge event, 10,000 people. And I got a ton of positive response. Like Judy got, you've grown up. You look like who you are now. But obviously you can't do that. You know, now I had the cores shipped there, and I was able to resell them by the end of the summer. I bought all new cores, which was huge for me, because I took them back. My high school were still fairly new. But the pre-Ks, all of the others, I understand the this is easier to carry. Yeah, it was a heavy heavy load. This year, if I do, I'm going to have to rent a vehicle to do it or have everything shipped so the cost will go up. But for that large event, it was effective.
Did you see a big jump in sales from the previous year to this year? I mean, I'm just curious how...
Not a huge jump, but I did, I mean, the booth was easier to manage because people could clearly see what everything was.
I was at that convention.
Right, exactly.
It was nice to get all that space.
Right, right. I couldn't do that with a smaller booth. I could with a four, probably, because I could have left some of the end things off, but it would have been challenging. So I would not want to go to either of those choices for that event. For my other events, I don't know. I just think the core samplers are going backwards from where we've arrived to. I like the virtual booth and the style Judy used with the La Nina racks for each one, because that is essentially what we did for several years before that on bookshelves. Display a couple cores and put those samples. This spreads it out so you can see them. I mean, that's just my opinion that samplers seem to be going backwards to me.
Anybody else?
I agree. Yeah. Sunlight is books, not pictures of books. I don't think
Sunlight
I could sell.
Sunlight is packages, not books.
Yes, but we don't sell pictures of books. We sell real books, and I think people are attracted to Sunlight.
Well, I think we still have to have a core,
A
multi-subject package or at least a full core, so they can see books.
Right.
But in smaller conventions, where you have one or two booths, you can't carry everything.
But you can.
And I have done samples. Well, yes, but last year we couldn't because of the parameters they gave us. There wasn't any place to put them, and we were supposed to do what they said to do. So you couldn't take samples.
Yeah, but you can bring history spines, and you can bring Bibles and things like that. So it's a representation. You're not bringing the full core, but they're not samplers.
Well, there was a room.
I would.
I would carry the IG
and like the history spines and maybe half a dozen books from each core along with the sampler so they could look at the other titles. It would just give them more to see. And even last year, I probably have three full boxes of books under the table because I never know what they're going to ask to see. That's pretty heavy to haul in and haul
maybe
out.
Maybe as a supplement. As a supplement, not as a replacement.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's where the benefit would be. To supplement what you can't fit on your table, but not to replace what we should be showing.
I guess I say that from that perspective because I mostly do small events.
But I think I hear you in the sense that we did, and I think that's why we moved to making our IGs look so good. But I think I don't want to see the pendulum personally swing to the other side because we're not just an IG company. That's almost like Tapestry of Grace, which is what we're criticizing them, saying, you know, they're only giving you this, or look at how small the book package is. So how do I show that if I don't even have an actual book in front of my IG? So for me, I want an actual book. I don't want all the books. Like what you're saying, that would be dream come true. Somehow we all got five books.
Right. But we're not. No.
But we're not. But I think it's reasonable to fit in 1 week sample of the main core, or a sample of one reader, sample of a history book, the core history spine, so to speak, from those lower levels, and a full core here. You know, those real books are what draw in those people that are our niche, our literature niche. So how do we
bring a sampling of something is different than having a sampler. Like I used to bring all the Singapore math because I'm a big Singapore math person. We used to only carry Singapore math. People would come to the booth to see Singapore math and they wanted to see 1A and 1B and 3A and 3B and 6A and 6B and see what the difference is. Now I only carry 3A, 3B, the textbooks, the HIGs, and I can sit there and explain, this is how Singapore math works. You learn from the textbook, you work in the workbook, here's your HIG, here's your solution, blah, 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 and you can apply that to 1, 6, whatever level you want, but this is the method. So now I no longer carry every Singapore math book that I own. I only carry 3.
Jennifer, you had a...
I think we all have different opinions about what works and what doesn't work. My curiosity is, since we all kind of made little variations to the main booth design. Some did complete core packages, some did samples, some did samplers. I want to know what the market research shows from this past season. What booth design was the most effective in not just number of new customers, but sales
We don't have the varying, the rule was you guys are supposed to all do it the same exact way. So if you guys had differences, we don't have that documented.
None of you guys, we didn't ask you and you didn't supply the differences, so I don't know what slight differences were made.
Well, yes, you did. I got a couple of those,
but it's not something that we grouped. You know, we said, okay, did you follow this model, this model, this model? I mean, the way you're suggesting, we would have 24 different categories, and then you're all different anyway. I think there's too many variables to say it was this booth design and not, you know,
the coupons
sales are not the coupons and not the tablecloths and not your personal ability. But what I'm saying is that you all have different styles and
Well,
you know, you have a convention that moves every 3 years, so that's another variable. I don't know that that's a variable that we can really say. Here, you know, this one works better than this one because they're just there's way too many variables and way too many.
Well, and it's also what you're comfortable with. If you're not comfortable with samplers, then you're not going to be as effective as, you know, as someone who is.
Yeah. But so as a marketing team, did you pretty much feel one single event didn't stand out and say, oh, we got to look at what changed at this event because the sales really increased? Pretty much all of it worked?
Again, too many variables, I think.
The tough thing, too, I got to reiterate it. We didn't look at, I know what the total sales increase was because I was prepared for you guys to come. Any of us cared about was new customers. I mean, I know you're saying, how can you be that laser focused? It's because we count on you to bring in new customers, and we felt that you guys.
But I think what we're saying is, even in just that one category, did you see some events didn't increase in new category? And maybe if there is, because statistics obviously always have multiple variables. The saying in statistics is correlation does not equal causation. But there is value in knowing, wow, look, there's a trend. Or, gee, no, it doesn't matter. There is a slight variation, so maybe it isn't relevant. So I think it's a useful tool. I don't think we want to make our decisions based on that. But I do appreciate what you're saying, because I think sometimes it does help me to know. You know, I think mine was very effective. I had a guy last year who drove from Connecticut to New Hampshire because he wanted to see sunlight in person. He had gone on the web. He made a $2,000 purchase in New Hampshire. That skewed my event totals. You and I talked about that. But he came there. He drove 4 hours to come to my event, paid for vendor hall only pass to see the books.
Just sunlight.
To look and see just sunlight, the whole reason. So obviously for some customers, that's a huge draw. For other customers, maybe they don't need that actual hands-on experience. I think what's hard is we all have our own personal homeschool experience. I know for me, seeing books and camping out in Judy's booth when
I
was
there. Did you have every book for every core? That's what I'm saying.
I don't have every book for every core.
I'm talking about using the samplers as a supplement to the few that you bring anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of hauling, you know, three boxes full of books but never get on the table.
But I think, and I don't want to misrepresent anyone who's not here, but I thought I heard on the forum some people wanted to do just that, like no books.
Yes, mm-hmm. You are correct. Right. Some people did say that.
But I think what
they wanted no books at all.
And we have one that did it that way because we
did it bomb? How did it go?
It killed it.
It killed
also
it.
Well, you also have to realize a lot of different things changed about the convention. There were more booths. There was a lot of other things that were different, and so we can't say it was that one.
Killed it good. Awesome. Amazing.
Let me just say, it did awesome. Not just good. It did awesome.
It did exponentially better.
Can I do that?
I don't think it was just that.
We talked about we encouraged everybody to start displaying one of their packages.
There's
a couple of us who can start displaying our packages for a year now, and we saw our sales and packages increase.
Right.
Use that as a statistic to back up, encourage everybody else to display
their packages. Right.
But it didn't hurt.
So do we have that same kind of statistical backup to say,
can you restate that, please? I'm sorry. Can you restate that?
When we as a team started encouraging people to display the newcomer package, a couple of us had done it already, and we had statistics to back it up, and we were able to say, those consultants that displayed a newcomer package sold more. Their average sale was higher. They sold more newcomer packages.
They sold more packages. Yes.
In general. And we use that as a statistic to back it up and say, look, this has shown to be effective. Please we encourage you to display a newcomer package because it will help your business. What I'm looking for is that type of encouragement again.
But how did you get
this? This is what we found. That's what Sunlight told us.
The tough thing though is now we put the newcomer package out and we have a great reduction in average dollar per customer. There are, again, it's variables. We took the binder out and you had 60 coupons per convention redeemed. How many of you guys actually market it as a package or to just display it? I witnessed somebody say, with the newcomer package out, I didn't know you guys carried other subjects. Anyway, when we go out to the booth, I'm looking forward to going out to the booth and saying, okay, close your eyes, imagine you know anything about Sunlight, and look at this booth and look at how much we're showing. And unless you're really skilled to be able to get someone to the newcomer package and ensure they see this isn't just a big stack of books. I don't know if it's a newcomer package, core package, or showing every book. It is intimidating.
There's the only way we could really suggest whether or not the newcomer was successful is if we found out from everybody which newcomer you displayed and then look at numbers from 2009 and then any numbers 2010 on that package and see if it made a difference over the whole story. I mean, because one SEC, might have sold a lot more, but if she chose a popular one and she had a bigger convention, then that's going to skew it a little bit. But at least it could show us a trend of, okay, you displayed newcomer three and more people bought newcomer three, and maybe that's the reason why. I think it's the only...
Hard to draw a correlation, though.
But it's the only way we could even suggest that displaying a newcomer might have increased the sales. It's, I think, the only
way.
What if we do say the other markets do bear that out? I was a Pampered Chef consultant for many years. They had statistical data that the item you featured in your kitchen demonstration and show, your sales would go up by that product.
I think their sampling was probably much larger. We have just short of 60 conventions with very different demographics each one. We changed a number of variables this year. Were we able to look at it and say, this worked, this worked? Because you can compare the variation between other conventions we didn't do those tests in. We have that, but to be able to track it down from one convention year with a number of changes we made, and I, to be honest with you, other than Jill, I didn't know that anybody did that. Family thing.
No, I was doing it. How many of us have someone come in our booth looking for high school and we haven't gotten there yet, and we don't have it? The sampler would help there. How many people come to our booth and they're looking specifically, I want to see Eastern Hemisphere, I don't care about Core 3, and you've got a Core 3 newcomer? That's where I think the sample would be helpful. They're coming, they've got, especially repeat customers, which where I live, I have a bunch of repeat customers, and they want to see what's next. I can't carry the whole book sold. I really think the samplers can be very beneficial, not necessarily as a primary, although I'd be willing to try it, but definitely so that I didn't have to put boxes and boxes and boxes of extra books under my table like I did this year. With the limits we had, I thought, well, someone might want to see this, so I had it all under my table just in case.
So let's make sure we're talking with the same terminology. Mm-hmm. Samples means, to me, when I define samples, I mean when I take a sample of Core 4, I have the IG, I have the one main history spine book, I have the poetry book, I have the Bible book, and I have two or three readers, two or three read-alouds. So I have maybe... seven or eight physical books from Core 4, and the same from Core 5 and Core 6, and that's what we'll see when we go out to look at the booth. Samplers means they took the IG and they made, like Carla was describing, they made up what looks like Carla's Language Arts Optional Workbook Sampler. And in that, they have a list of all the books in the core. They have a table of contents from each of those. They made a copy of the front of the book, a copy of the back of the book. And in Jill's case, she made copies of pages inside the book, sometimes entire chapters inside the book. So, I mean, her sampler was not three or four pages. It was a number of pages because her goal was to not take any books. And at least that was my understanding.
No, I disagree, because I worked with Jill mm-hmm. in Indianapolis where she started doing that, mm-hmm. and I did something similar. The goal was to promote the package.
Mm-hmm.
That's how
and
I see it.
So my display and the display that Jill had done at Indianapolis, at mm-hmm. least too, showed as many complete packages as possible.
And mm-hmm. see, I don't have room for 8 books from every level to show, okay, here's core one, here's core two, here's core three. But if I had these, I could have, here's the IG, here's the sampler, here's the IG, here's the sampler.
The samplers were to fill in the gap for the cores where you didn't have the complete package. So for example, I displayed the newcomer K, and I would start new customers there, new to homeschooling, to show we have everything, this is how it works, and to show all of the benefits of that. And then they'd say, okay, and now I've got a first grader. I said, okay, you can use this one, here's another option. And then I would go to the instructor's guide in the sampler for the core one and say, you have these different options to choose, but they've already gotten the big picture. Mm-hmm. They already see what the package is and how it all works together. And I didn't have people disappointed or upset that they just had the sampler of the particular core that they were going to look at. I also had one for the middle school years. I displayed the complete core five. Mm-hmm. And so anyone who had older children, this is one option that you can use. And then I explained how our core package works using that full display there so they can get the idea. See? And then if they say, well, I want to study world history instead, we go to the sampler for the core six
with
or the world seven.
I mean, I don't want to interrupt you, but on our booth layout, little blueprints, it says put your core samplers here. So I have this shelf with my core samplers, and the top shelf was cultures, and then there was American history and world history. So I have stuff from K and 5 and whatever up here, and things from 3 and 4 and 100 here, and you know, by that, but it from the aisle, that looks like a collection of books. It does not look like, oh, you have all these different levels.
I didn't use my shelf at all.
And so, well, shelves is what I owned, and I didn't invest in racks last year, so shelves is what I used. And that's, and but I could visualize it if I had a rack too, they would all just kind of be jumbled together. And the way Jill's pictures looked with her samplers, her IGs, to me that was so clean and crisp and intuitive. I guess that's what I liked about it.
And I did something similar, except I displayed them in a rack, and I had intro to world history in the left side, and then I had American history in the middle, and then the upper level. World history in depth.
Can I just clarify a question? So did you have 3 tables? It almost sounds like your booth was then lower, middle, high school with an actual full book set, and then the samplers are just for the in-between levels.
I had a newcomer on one table. Mm-hmm. The next table had the core 5 and the core samplers. So newcomer, core, and a little bit of language arts was there. And then the far right table was science, math, electives.
And was your science books or samplers?
I did both.
Sampling?
I didn't do samplers. I didn't do any samplers for science. At the beginning of the season, I did complete packages for science. I had 2 of them. And then a couple of the later events, I did samples that we've seen displayed. Mm-hmm. My high school was on the front table, as well as a full preschool package.
Of actual books.
So I had 1, 2, 3, sometimes 4, if I did the full high school. But towards the end, I just more did samples of high school books.
See, I guess that sounds more appealing than the thought of just pure racks of samplers.
I'd like to go back to something Tim said. Close your eyes and pretend you don't know anything. You're asking us, and we all come with 5 to 10 to 12 to 13 years of ingrained, this is how we've done it, we've tried this, we've done that. You need to market test or get set up a booth. I mean, some of us have said this several years. Get people that don't know sunlight and ask their opinion. Does this communicate? Because you're asking us, and we can't go back to imagining we don't know anything about sunlight. We look at it and go, oh yeah, there's the math, there's the science. Yeah, you're asking the wrong people.
It's really intuitive. What's wrong with this? It's why I'm getting
friendly. even y'all, whatever y'all want to say, and your staff here, they know too much about sunlight. You've got to get. Like grab somebody in the convention and bring them over.
Invite your pastor's wife.
Tell you. Yeah. perfect. But she even knows all the parts of sunlight. So she's going to look at the booth and look to see what it tells her about something she already knows. One of the years we did a major remake of the catalog, and we were still involved in proofing and stuff, I got permission to take some of the pages to a friend who homeschooled but knew nothing about sunlight. And one of the things that came out of that and other people's was, she goes, well, how do I find what grade? That was, we had never put grades in the catalog. And that was the year we added grades. And it came from feedback outside of us, partially, because we were asking people that didn't know and what confuses you about the catalog. So, I mean, I really think that asking us to what we're comfortable with is important, but I'm willing to change. If you can show me that it works better, I mean, I wouldn't be in sales if I wasn't willing to get more sales.
Right.
Yeah. It's a good point. It's a very good point.
I'm not here to do things my way. I'm here to sell.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm here to sell. And I keep hearing you say, new customers. Well, you know, our job changes based on what you say. Are we after retention? Okay, we got new sales. Now you want us to add retention? You know, one year it was, don't spend a lot of time in the booth, get names and push them on. And other.
Get in, get out. Get in, get out.
Retention. Retention, total sales. All of that, I mean, that is the goal. I'm just saying, from the investment and what we were trying to accomplish last year, we saw a trend of declining new customers. And we wanted to overcome that, because if that wasn't working, then the thought would be, I don't know how valuable conventions are if we can't generate new customers from you. Right. Now we're just paying residual checks, and what's the point? But once we saw that if you invest a little in the program, there is bang for your buck. So again, sales are most important, but we are counting on you guys to generate new customers.
But that brings my point was, we are here to listen to what you want. We're here to hear what you have to say. And I know you want to hear what we have to say, but we're missing hearing what that person who doesn't know sunlight says. And I think they could give us valuable feedback. Mm-hmm. And I used to have a booth evaluation laying on the table, the sign-in table in my booth, and I would have a whole separate drawing for the people that fill that out and put it in there. And it asked like three basic questions. Was the booth helpful? Were we helpful? What would you like to see change? Or what can we bring we didn't? Or I forget. Okay. And unfortunately, I didn't get much response, so I quit doing it. But I'd love for everybody that comes to my booth to tell me that.
Maybe if we did that this year, but we didn't individually have the drawing, but we sent those into Sunlight, and then Sunlight would get that feedback. And then
I think it's just
well, and we did a survey out on the forums too. We had a good, you know, for a forum survey, we had a pretty high response rate of individual people, and what they said is what Tanya did, almost to a person. They wanted to see full core packages.
And new books.
But are those existing customers?
Some of them were, because I looked in Assist to see if these were fairly new customers, if these were veteran 5, 6, and it was pretty balanced.
Really?
I think that's one of the struggles I've had personally as a consultant over the years, is I almost feel like schizophrenic in my booth, because I feel like half my motivation is for the new person who knows nothing, and half has to be the people who are coming back who still need help. I can't tell you how many counseling sessions I get into with, I started with Sunlight, I love it, I still want to do it, but I have no clue how to do it now that I have 4 kids. Mm-hmm. That's time consuming, and that requires different resources than I feel like I could use with a sampler. But if you're saying I would have full packages or correlating enough that then I'm just showing what, you know, the off years, so to speak, that would be comfortable. But I think that's what's hard. Sometimes I wish Sunlight could make that decision of like, nope, we're going to tell you the priority, because then it's backed up by something. It's that security thing again. Going back to, as I want security of knowing I'm making changes and doing work that's going to be worthwhile.
That's been market tested.
Yeah. So, or that's backed up by something than just this year's.
Because I like what I'm doing, marketing. But if something else is going to be more effective,
right,
even
exactly.
if it means hauling or shipping more stuff, I don't know what that is.
Right.
Yep. Our existing customers need to know, and we need to give them the time in the booth to know that they're important too. I recently had an issue with AT&T. They would not give me the same price on a cell phone that they would give a new customer. And if we hadn't been in a contract, they'd have lost us right there. I said, are you telling me a new customer is worth more than me?
I've been with you for, you know, 10 years. And they said, well, no, they're not. I said, then how can they get a better deal? And it's the same thing in the booth. If we're focusing constantly on the new and not on retention, which we spend a lot of time on retention in the booth.
And please don't get me wrong again. Yeah. It was just a...
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
From our perspective, purely, when you have declining a new customer account, and we're just looking at this and saying, are SECs generating new customers, or are they just hanging out? What's going on? We didn't know, and we do now. And by investing a little bit, and it's showing that you can generate more new, I mean, extra, what, 19%? What was it, 16%? 16%?
How long ago was that survey done?
Well, on the forums, it was in January of 2010. I did it just before we came here. I did it with a purpose of coming here with a result.
It will draw people who either don't know about sunlight or have mistaken image of sunlight. We need to show them what we really are. Because we can service an existing customer pretty much with any food because they just want us.
I think that's the funny part, though, because you wonder if different regions, different perceptions. Yours sounds like, you know, JCPenney, that you have some full, some fancy, but some just samplers, whereas the other aspect of just if I only had samplers and that's all I had and I didn't have enough full cores to display, that feels like Walmart.
Jennifer, do you know if Jill did what you did? Did she have a multi-subject and a full core? Because her pictures look like all she had were samplers.
I'm sure she had the multi-subject on the left, but I think all the core table. And then all samplers.
Yeah. Displayed.
I wasn't, but I know her design. She had one full newcomer. The rest of it was there was an IG and there were some books, but it was all hooked into a rack.
Yep.
Single.
So it was all samplers.
Sampler
I like.
I don't think there was notebooks at all, but it was very few. The sampler told the story.
I don't think there's anyone who went straight with samplers.
Right.
Didn't have any books.
No.
Right.
How does
that? But it was clean. It was very.
Oh, absolutely.
It looked very clean.
And you know what? From an SEC standpoint, that's awesome. I can fit it into 3 totes instead of 7. Sure. You know, right, but you know, like everyone else is saying, if that's not, I have a difficult time saying we're a literature-based curriculum if there are no books in my booth.
And I had a difficult time saying, explaining how a literature-based or literature-rich curriculum works if I just have a handful of books for each core, because to me, then we're no better than my father's world, who just has a handful of books with each of them.
But that's.
I disagree with Tim.
All right, go ahead.
Tim's very strong over here.
Talk loud, though.
Well, you know, I didn't just learn, but I was reminded that 55% of communication is body language. So. Be sure to smile every time you're in the booth.
It's from a guy who ran a call center.
Yeah.
You will notice that our
smile in your voice.
38 is tone, 7 is actual words, and 55 is vocal.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Okay.
I just struggle with it. I have a hard time saying we're a literature-based company if I can't show them books. To me, I look at this iPad and say, my entire library of 5,000 books is here. No, it's not. You can't show me 5,000. It's like saying, we are a literature-based curriculum, but I think you can do that with an iPad, and frankly, in 3 years, we're probably going to do that. I mean, it's probably going to be there. So, you know, and on the other side, we are an IG company, and if you think we're not, let me dispel you of that. That is our bread and butter. That is our intellectual content. We do produce we publish some of our own materials and some of our own books, and we reprint books that maybe aren't in circulation anymore. But a lot of the stuff we sell, you can get anywhere else. And so the concept of, or at least the thought of, I can't sell a program without all the books that, frankly, you could probably get just about anywhere, is just going into this digital age further. It's even harder for me to, at least in my mind, in my heart, I probably accept it a little bit more than my mind, but I'm having a harder time every day accepting that in my mind, because every time I turn around, I'm faced with, there's gonna be that thin little slate thing, and it's gonna have 10,000 books on it that kids are gonna learn from. So anyway,
On that same thought then, do we want to start moving our booth to that digital idea by kind of going through these sample situations, because then we are moving toward that 3-year goal, and then it will visually be seen the same, and yes, it will work on something like this, and look at my booth, it looks the same, because if we're still stuffed with books and things coming out our ears, then it's not gonna represent
digital.
And you know, someone, you could say, well, I have all the books right here. Is there going to be one person that's going to say, okay, let me read this book before I buy it? Well, no, they're going to want to know what books are in it, and they're going to have to accept that there's 50 books in here. You probably recognize most of them. They're award winning. They're classics. Some you may not like. Of course, we go to our sales spiel. So if no one would do that there with an iPad, they wouldn't read through a book to make sure it's acceptable to them. I'm still struggling thinking that someone has to absolutely see all the titles in their physical form.
Yeah, and I don't think they need to see them all.
No. Or even
I'm not
any.
Saying that.
Honestly, even any.
When Jennifer's booth did not show up, we had boxes of instructor's guides and boxes of catalogs until 2:00, and we sold. I mean, we were effective. It wasn't like our booth was empty. They still walked in and they still looked at instructor's guides. I mean, that is what
says
we need.
A lot. That's right.
That
says
but
a lot.
That almost begs the question.
And then, just so you guys know, that convention, you know, Jennifer doesn't think so, that convention did really well.
Yeah,
and we didn't have books until what time?
2:00.
Yeah, that convention historically has not done very
but
well.
But it begs the question, why is our focus on packages then? If it's not about books.
Yeah, and they are on packages.
They are
on
packages. 80% of our sales are books. So don't get me wrong, but Tim is saying that's a commodity item though.
Right.
You can't get it anywhere. We are pushing packages. And But see, our packages are because our IG has woven them together, they're scheduled, they're thought through. When we're selling a package, we are more so selling the IG than anything else, in my opinion.
So going back to your warm, fuzzy feeling idea, if we go to all samplers or all iPads in a booth, where's the warm, fuzzy coming from?
The package and all the books is not so somebody can take off each individual book and read through it or even peruse it. Very frequently they're just there, but it's to show them that this is the package from someone.
It's like
this is what comes of that box. This is the literature, rich history, and how all of the books work together.
Right.
That's why
when we
there.
Change a book, they do want to see it. When we have relationships with Core 300,
existing customers.
Existing. But I mean, they feel like they have value. And when we came out with Evolution, the Grand Experiment, that one was high demand in my booth. They wanted to see that book. They would not.
They
didn't trust
it. Our audience isn't necessarily yet. I think, like you're saying, our audience is a lot of people who are rebelling.
It's on the forum. It's on the forum, Barb.
The forum in general is definitely behind the technological curve, but they're catching up.
They are.
Well, they are
getting there.
The newer group are. But
they
it's
are.
The newer generation.
But I guess, how do we bridge that gap? How do we?
But my question is, how are we gonna if you look at My Father's World, if we're looking at them as our primary competitor, they have everything out there.
Their book is full. Their booth is full of books.
You can walk and see their whole package.
Yes, you can.
And that was why because they are humongous at the Virginia.
Yeah, 6-8 booth spaces.
It's got to be more than that at Virginia.
How many?
Huge.
Part of it though is they're selling too. They can sell on the floor.
Right.
So.
Well, I don't disagree, but I'm saying my purpose. Most of the books that I took never got picked up. My purpose wasn't so they could pick them up and look at the books. It was to present that complete curriculum, every subject image that somebody has. And I am not saying that I can do that at a small event or that I only do a 2-booth is my smallest. I had it was one booth last year. I took one newcomer, the sample rack of things that would appeal to non-Christians because it was a secular event. So you can't do that at everyone, and I just had the catalog there. But, you know, I don't know. I just think that rack with the sampler and IG does not communicate. Yes, it's clean and crisp and easy to set up, but it doesn't communicate.
So I mean, I agree that probably every one of us has a unique opinion about it.
You think?
Give or take. Ultimately, we're just going to have to test it.
Yes.
And so, like you said, I appreciate that you're willing. So if I came to you and said, don't bring a single book, we're going to test this, and we're going to watch.
This past year did not test that.
I'm sorry.
You're convinced this past year did not test that with Tanya doing full.
I don't think it did because I changed
Jill
too
doing
many
samplers and Judy at a couple events doing the samples.
I'm kind of with Greg that there were so many variables it was tough to completely know. But
the variables consistent between those. You know, everybody had the coupon, everybody had the banners and the tablecloths.
Yeah.
I guess how does this also
and
then line up?
Similar events that have similar attendance. Could you say, you know, could you look at Tanya's event and say her package sales increased this much?
Right.
And then look at each of the other ones, you know, maybe take three different ones like Tanya's and, and Judy's and Jill's. If they all remain the same consistent size, were in the same location as the previous year.
Yeah, the problem is they weren't. Because I tested the middle of the road. You know, not the big, but not the total samplers and not the total cores. So what I did was middle of the road, but I tested it at a smaller event in an economically depressed area.
And you had Sarita come.
And I had Sarita come and speak.
Which is a huge variable.
Yes.
That's going to skew everything.
So
the Denver one wouldn't work because it hadn't been done the previous
year. Right, right.
Yeah, and, I mean, you could look at my sales from the last 2 years to this year because I had five last year, but I had four booths the 2 years before that. So I did have a large booth. And five was, I don't know why.
But you
one
can compare it to Kelly's because you had five.
I do. No, I only, this year
four.
I have five, but before I've had four.
And that, that begs the question, if you hadn't taken full core packages, what would you have put in five booth spaces?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I'd have had a huge high school display.
But
would consulting area. I wanted six, and we had six. But the only way they could give me six was three and three back to back. Just like I played around with a dozen different ways to get around that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yep.
So
well, we'll keep digging and see if we can find something out of there.
So there pretty much is no evidence right now that you can give us that one design works better over another.
I would say nothing that we could absolutely with 100% confidence could say absolutely this is it. I think there's some things that we said, huh, that's really interesting. But then that's when, well, you've got this. This was different than this. And
I guess could I ask the question? Would it be valuable then, despite what we decide? Like, let's say as a group we decide to go with something, and that's like the look for the year. Would it be worth then having you repeat yours, or if we go with Jennifer's style and everybody converts to that, then keeping two or three select groups in the old style, and then having that like continued, like now let's purposefully continue to test. Because I feel like if we pick random people or different events, then we're now, like we don't have that continued data. Like I'd almost like to know, okay, if yours went up this year, does it go up again next year?
Well,
was it just a change value?
For the time being, we're going to use what is out there.
Which we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I know.
Right, right. So we'll see that. And then as far as the samplers go, we can't do that right now anyway. We did do some legal homework, and technically it's possible, but we have to do some work on our end to make that possible. Otherwise, it's just a little too iffy. So.
And that's the same for language arts and electives and math samplers that we've got. We can use any of those.
Right, if they're in that form that where you're making copies of things, I just have to look at them and see.
The ones we were provided last year, we're not able to use those?
I need to see what they are. I honestly don't know what they
almost
are.
Almost everything came off of websites that was out there as samples.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, we didn't build them by copying pages out of books.
There were a couple I did, because I couldn't find samples.
If there's anything where you're taking a book and copying pages, that's problematic. If you're taking information off our website, or you can do that, that's not a problem. Yeah.
It would be like, okay, here's a PDF of Explode the Code, and you know, as a sample, and that's just exactly the sample I used. There were a couple of the books, I think, that I copied the pages because the samples were not print quality. The samples I found, they were okay on the screen, but when you printed them, they looked terrible. So I used the book, but it was a duplicate of whatever I found.
So I think ultimately we'll just have to look at them and see.
It has to be like a risk-reward type look at too. And they come after us and they say, I can't imagine there's any damages involved. I really want to have a conversation with Wayne is, what are the damages? You could sue anyone for anything, but what are the damages when you're trying to promote someone's book to sell it?
I know.
We're selling their material, making money.
And I think that was his thing too. It's just
we need to research it more. But.
Well, and we need to
probably get permission. Wouldn't be hard since you're doing it to promote their items.
Exactly.
Just like on Amazon's website, you look inside the book and you've got the images of the pages that you can see.
Yeah. So it's more of, we're pretty confident we'll get an answer of yes, you can do that. But at least the counsel we've been given is you still need to ask the question and verify it. So
let's finish through this so that we can get up.
Quick question?
Yeah.
Back to the banners. There was nothing at eye level in Abu this year that said sunlight. If you had people standing in front of the tablecloths, and I just have mine here, blocking that sunlight, then nobody's looking up on top of the tabletop banners. So I had multiple people come into my booth and say, what is this? Who are
our
you?
Our signs are different this year.
Oh, that's true.
Right. The signs, we've made that change. We've made that change.
I hadn't even noticed that.
Yeah, I didn't have anybody say that, but
because it's a crowd, they're not looking up, they can't see the tablecloths.
Yeah.
Big boost is enough.
But I think we've addressed that.
Okay.
So anyway, the other couple things that people mentioned were tablecloths were in poor condition or were not, just didn't look professional, and where is that?
Is that fire alarm sensor?
No.
Is that on our feedback?
It's on the
it's
computer.
It's outside. It's like behind.
It's the speakers.
Is it so if I turn that down, does it go?
Yeah. It does reduce if you don't.
It does.
I heard it.
It's coming from over there, isn't it? I thought I did.
No, it's the computer.
It's not outside. It's the computer.
Wow.
Your last point, Judy. A lot of people said science wasn't a big deal. I'd say half the interest
in
my science.
Yeah. And again, this is not, you know, these are individual people's responses. Yeah.
Everybody and I was
No. It wasn't everybody. No. So anyway, my last point before we go out is one of the things that really came out this last year is, the devil's in the details. The little things do make a difference. And so one of the things that really stuck out in pictures and in these guys traveling around was, you know, the tablecloths are wonderful, but if they look like they've been wadded up inside of a bag, then you kind of lose the professional effect. And so there is value in taking time to iron those tablecloths.
I did.
Very easily.
Do you iron them in your hotel room, or how do you get there?
It depended on the event and you know what was happening. Some how far I went, but most of the time I ironed them in my hotel room, and hung them on the little pant hangers, or I had hangers that I had clothespins on. Thank you. And that's what I did. I ironed them and then I just folded them twice and hooked them, and they hung in the back of my vehicle over to the convention center. But
I found even ironing them at home, if I had just a few hours worth of travel, and making sure they hung
behind the driver's side or, you know, in the passenger portion of my van so they could hang long, then they were fine when I got to the event. And
if you wanted to be really, really picky, you could also put tissue there and it won't crease then.
Mm-hmm.
So tissue isn't that expensive, so you can...
Mm-hmm. Spot cleaning the tablecloths. Yes.
We have contacted the manufacturer of the tablecloths, and they say that proper cleaning for them, which is stamps are seen, is gentle cycle in washing machine. So I have taken some home. The ones in the back I took home and just ran them cold water, gentle cycle, air dry on the dryer, and they are fine. So if you get your tablecloths and you want to do that, you can. Just keep in mind that you are responsible if you put it on high heat or use hot water and it shrinks or anything like that. So highly encourage you, if they come to you and they're stained or before you send them off, if you want to wash them, feel free. Just make sure you're careful. And
gentle cycle, cold, and then
I didn't know. I did air the fluff, heat is what I did. That's not what they said, but I figure heat probably would damage them or possibly shrink them. So we highly encourage you to do that. Just when you're doing it, make sure you
pay attention. Yes.
Yeah. Don't be doing it at the same time as the cotton socks, okay? But so please, we encourage you to do that. Just as I said, careful with what you're doing and make sure that you don't.
But if you got a really nice red sweater for Christmas,
don't wash it with a tablecloth. Yeah.
The hard part is sometimes as they go from one convention right to the next convention, and there's absolutely no time.
And that's just it. You know, if you package them up and you have to ship them to somebody else, and there are some cases I'm working on the schedule now, and I hope it's up next week. There are some cases where, I've got no choice, but you've got to ship that thing off Monday morning. That's just how the schedule works.
I get it the day to wash it.
If we're tight, we're doing another order for Bathpacular, so if we're tight, we'll order another set.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, we can talk about that maybe. But in some cases, I think it's mostly again in May and June, and not very often. If that's the case, then obviously you may not have time to launder them, and the next SEC will. And also, if that's a case, if you're worried about not being able to get off in time and you need to expedite, let me know. We can maybe try and make some other arrangements to expedite it, to make do a 2-day or something like that rather than ground.
Maybe it would be nice too if the person would say, "Hey, I didn't have time to wash this."
I think it would probably be evident. I'm also, and actually because this.